Hello, everyone. This is Anna Verzoni, founder and creator of FreedomJunkie.com, the ultimate confidence program with the ZG Up system, and the Urban Wellness Club. And I'm super excited to have you guys here for our last call during the Ayurveda Spring Cleanse. And you guys are in it. You are in it right now. So I just wanted to say you are awesome for rocking it, because this is definitely the most challenging phase of the cleanse for most people, mostly because it's non-fat in terms of the food that you're eating. So for a lot of people, fat is what helps them feel full and satisfied, so it can be a little bit extra challenging when that's not an option during this part of the cleanse. But it's only 7 days during this part, and I hope that you're starting to feel the effects of more energy, or at least feeling lighter. And some of you, if not, may actually be in it in the other direction, which is really feeling the effects of the detox that's going on. And maybe you're experiencing headaches, or maybe you're experiencing foggy head, or just some changes in your bowels, or other uncomfortable sensations. And just know that on top of the physical stuff, emotional stuff can come up as we release the toxins in our bodies. We're also opening up to releasing some emotional things. So just feeling icky, like, I mean, I don't even need to put an emotional word on things. I can just kind of describe things like, it feels globby, sticky, icky, and that's how I just describe some things that come up. Recognize them as physiological representations of past experiences that we interpret as, like, feelings, right? But really, they're just like these forms of energy and toxins and things that have built up that create a memory around what caused them to build up. And as they're released, the emotions released along with it. And that's a good thing. So even though it can feel crappy or weird or uncomfortable, think of it like if you're a yoga practitioner, I often notice it when I do certain yoga poses, I'll release an emotion and it feels kind of gross, but I'll hold it, just stick with it, stay with it, and then it'll pass through. Phase two is about seven days long, and so you guys are on day eight now. So only 3 more days, which is awesome. I know you guys can totally do it. On phase two, and then we go into phase three. And phase three is the last 3 days of the cleanse, and that's when we're going to be entering back into a little bit more heavier foods and resetting the digestive tract to be prepared to enter the real world again, if you will. So basically, right now in phase two, you guys are deciding on either being in the nourishing portion of the menu choices, or you can be in the, like, rejuvenating or transcending phases, whatever it is of the options you want. If you're having a hard time in this cleanse, stick to the nourishing. That's the easiest option with the most variety. And remember to experiment with different recipes. There's lots of different, like, breakfasts you can try, like hot cereals, pink kitchery, millet with greens for breakfast. There's a lot of different options you have in phase two, even though it can seem really limiting. So if you're feeling really restricted, reach out on the forum and get some awesome recipes that you can try too, okay? All right. The other part of phase two is the self-inquiry. And I kind of alluded to that with the emotional discussion going on in terms of some of the feelings that might come up. And I just wanted to reiterate to you guys that taking the time to process these self-inquiry questions, even if you just take a few minutes a day, either in the morning or in the evening, can really help you move through the cleanse a lot more smoothly. Somebody had asked on the forum about beets, and since we don't have to do the beet tonic, like, do you still have to do the beets during the second cleanse, or second phase of the cleanse? And I just wanted to share my response with you guys in case you're wondering the same thing. While you don't have to do the beet tonic, if you're not doing the beet cleanse herbs, you still want to be eating raw beets, like 2 to 3 a day if possible, if you're not taking the beet cleanse herbs. are recommended during this part of the phase. So be sure to continue eating beets if you like them, okay? They're definitely not required. Thank God I happen to love beets. I eat them all the time. I eat them all the time during the cleanse. Not a problemo for me. Okay, so I wanted to take this call. Obviously, we're going to answer some questions if anybody has any. I haven't received any in via email or anything, so don't be shy if you guys are feeling like you want to send in some questions in the question and answer box on the webcast screen there, okay? But first, I wanted to go into the final flush, the discussion of the final flush on day 11, okay? So this is going to be on the last day of your phase two, which is on day 11. So let me pull up my calendar here. So if today's the 15th, that would be Friday. So the good thing is, hopefully you can pull this off Friday night and most of you won't have to go to work early on Saturday morning and kind of mess with your system that way. Because it is called final flush for a reason, and it does involve, hopefully, some good hearty bowel movements, and that's plural with an S, okay? So what's been happening in phase two is, phase one, you prepped it, right? You opened up your channels, your lymph channels, your detox channels. Phase two, you pushed all the toxins into the digestive tract after pulling them through the fat cells, right? We release the fat cells, access the fat cells, pull the toxins, get them into the GI tract because that's the way we get rid of things, and the kidneys as well. That's how we process our toxins. So now we've got the toxins into the intestinal tract and the intestinal tract lining. And that's why it's been really important to have a bowel movement every day during phase two here so that you can be sure that those toxins that are being sent to your intestinal walls have a way to get out, all right? As if you recall, water-soluble toxins are really well processed through the kidneys as long as you're well hydrated and your kidney function's good. The fat-soluble ones, that's what is a little bit more challenging, which is why we're having to do the oleation therapy and ensuring regular bowel movements and some of these other herbs. So we've pulled it. It's in the lining of the intestinal tract, and now we need to flush them out. So in Ayurveda, this kind of final flush is called Vidichana, V-I-R-E-C-H-A-N-A, and it's a laxative therapy. And it's an important step in this cleanse. And in Ayurveda, it's definitely like enemas and purging are used during cleanses. And, you know, as a medical therapy. In Ayurveda, colonics and enemas are not as used as kind of, I guess, casually or often as they tend to be used in some other alternative forms of medicine because they feel that it can be really aggravating to the colon. And, in fact, it can. Like, you can get colitis from doing too many colonics or enemas. And you can also become dependent on colonics if you're doing them too frequently and inappropriately. So, but for the purposes of this cleanse and for other medically indicated reasons in Ayurveda, these flushes are really important. So while this is scheduled on our cleanse to do on Friday, you don't have to do it on Friday. You can move it up a day or you can move it back a day, but just don't skip it, okay? So, again, if you are having a big event planned for that night or, you know, you're going to see your honey and it's been a while and you don't want to be on the toilet all night, then you can move it up a day or back a day, okay? So, on the evening of the final flush, for most of us that will be Friday, your meal should be really light. Hopefully you're already working towards light suppers. But definitely make sure that that night is very light. Then you want to wait 1 or 2 hours after supper before taking your laxative. Okay, I always feel funny saying supper. It sounds so grandma, but it is a good word because unlike dinner, which most people think of as having to be really huge, supper used to be the word because it was supplemental meal. It was just supposed to be like a little top-off to your day, not the main meal of the day. So anyway, after supper, wait 1 or 2 hours. Then, before taking the laxative, ideally, You want to take a bath, about 15 or 20 minutes. And what that will do is help you relax, because digestion is part of the parasympathetic nervous system, which is our relaxed nervous system. It'll help you relax and increase circulation to your bowels and relax your abdomen, your abdominal muscles as well. And if you can't take a bath, you can either do a hot shower, making sure you get that belly and the lower back nice and warm, or you could fill up a hot water bottle and put it on your lower abdomen. And if you don't have any of those, you can make like a little rice pillow, stick it in the microwave it for 2 minutes and place that on your belly, okay? So there are some options for choosing the laxative that is better for you. So you can do, if you have like really sluggish bowels, like if you tend towards constipation and you tend to not have a bowel movement every day, and on this cleanse, like it's been particularly challenging for you, or you just know that a little bit of stress can throw you off, you want to do 1.5 tablespoons of Epsom salts in a cup of water. And this is all in your book, okay, on the final flush day for day 11 there. And so 1.5 tablespoons of Epsom salt in 1 cup of water. And after that's dissolved, you add 2 tablespoons of olive oil and 2 teaspoons of lemon juice. That will really help to soften up the bowels and to make sure that you can more effectively flush them out, okay? Now, if you have regular bowel movements every day, it's not a problem for you, you don't tend towards diarrhea or constipation, have fairly normal bowel movements, you're just going to do 1 tablespoon of Epsom salts in 1 cup of water, and you do 1 tablespoon of olive oil and 1 teaspoon of lemon juice. So we're kind of tapering back on all those ingredients. Now, for people with really sensitive digestion, or if you're already having really loose or frequent stools during the cleanse, despite adjusting for the ghee and things like that, or if you have gallbladder issues or no gallbladder, or if you have liver problems, and this is because of just fat metabolism, because the other formulas have oil in them, or if your bowels are just generally irritated, you just want to do 1.5 cups of prune juice. If you've already been going a bunch during the day with loose stools, you just need to take a little extra prune juice. So again, that's 1.5 cups of prune juice, okay? And again, make sure that's pure prune juice so that it's easy to digest and doesn't have any of the additives or nasties, ideally organic, okay? Now, for the sluggish bowels, it can take quite a while for this to kick in sometimes, like 10 hours or more. And if you have already some pretty frequent bowel movements, it can take as little as 1 hour. But on average, as usual, it's somewhere in the middle, like around 4 to 6 hours. So what you want is, even if you're kind of on the longer end of the taking its effect, you don't want to eat anything until the laxative effect has worn off, okay? So you can just sip room temperature or warm water, but don't eat anything until the laxative effect has worn off. And the day after, it is normal to feel weak if that's the case. Like if you just think about when you had a little GI upset the night before, the next day you can feel a little bit off. However, I have noticed that some people feel just more energetic and lighter as well. So either way is fine. Just don't plan anything epic for the next day and like be disappointed if you happen to be on the weaker side, all right? So taking that into consideration, like if you're planning on running a race on Saturday, don't think like, oh, okay, that'll be cool. I'll do my flush on Friday night. You may actually feel more tired on Saturday. So you may want to move your flush over to Thursday so that you have a day to recover, or just to Saturday night, okay? Now, some people don't experience anything. I've definitely had people that are like, I didn't go. And that's more especially for the people that tend towards the harder or constipation type stools. And that definitely happened to me once when I did this cleanse, like for I think maybe the first time I did it actually. And I was like, oh my God, all these toxins are stuck in me and I have no way to get them out. I just basically did another dose of the laxative in the, I think I didn't bring it up to someone for a couple of days, but then I did it probably a couple of days after, and then it worked, okay? So you can also, if you didn't have anything happen by Saturday evening, you can repeat this as soon as Saturday evening. But if that's the case, do not do your ghee on Saturday morning, okay? That's too much. So if you don't go on Friday night and you wake up and you think you're going to have to repeat this and you're choosing to repeat it on Saturday, don't do your morning ghee on Saturday, okay? Now, in terms of phase three, that's going to be on days 12, 13, and 14, right? Because this cleanse is a total of 2 weeks of cleansing. So the purpose of phase three is to reset your digestive strength. And basically, you want to prepare your body to enter into the non-cleansing diet. You know, while this diet may have been kind of boring for some people or very challenging, know that it's basically the intention is to eat baby food so that your digestive tract can focus on detoxing and that you don't go hungry. Those are the two purposes of the reasons that the foods were chosen for this cleanse in Ayurveda. It's basically eating baby food to make it really easy on your system. And if you've been following the cleanse, it can be a quite a shocker, more so than other cleanses, to come back into, like, normal eating. Most of you guys eat pretty well, you know, even when you're not cleansing. But even then, like, little indulgences like cheese and stuff can really screw you up coming off of a cleanse like this. So be sure to do these last 3 days well. I know that the 7 days of phase two can be really challenging, but you really want to do phase three well because it will really help prep your body. It will really help prep your bowels. So be sure to do it well so that you can be set up for success in phase three, okay? I just have one comment here from a webcaster that says, "Weird, I'm not hungry. Usually I'm a big eater. However, during this cleanse, I just don't feel hungry. What's up with that? Am I burning off all that fat?" Great question, Karen. Exactly. I don't know how much of the ebook you've read, but one way I love how Dr. Diard explains this part of the cleanse is he says it's a very calm energy. And that's exactly how I experience phase two. It's basically like a very calm, relaxing energy because your source of energy is not caffeine. Your source of energy is not sugar. Your source of energy isn't simple carbohydrates, right? It is fat because this is a great sign that you've tapped into your fat source. If you're not feeling as hungry and you're just feeling like this, okay, I'm pretty satisfied. Things are going pretty well. And you just have this like mellow energy about you. That is, it doesn't even have to be mellow. It's just like a calmness in general about you and clarity about you. That is tapping into your fat stores of energy because fat burns nice and slow and steady. That's why, you know, like, I don't know if any of you have ever been into like a Tibetan Buddhist temple or anything like that. They have these butter lamps, and so they burn on butter, and it's like they can burn a long time, nice and steady fat flow candle, right? So fat is a great form of energy, and yeah, it lasts longer, so that helps people not feel hungry as often when you're tapping into your fat stores. Remember how in phase one we were on our first call, we were talking about like the blood sugar spikes and crashes that people experience. That's what happens when you're not tapping into your fat stores of energy because blood sugar spikes and crashes. That's just what it does. When you're able to learn how to tap into your fat stores, once your blood sugar starts dropping, you don't experience that as much and you don't feel as hungry in between meals. And that's the whole purpose of why this is structured, right? To help decrease the snacking so that you can access the fat stores and more effectively detox and ultimately more effectively maintain a healthy weight as well or lose weight if that's your goal. Okay. So in terms of the two objectives of this phase, one is to re-enter into the non-cleansing world without shocking your system, and the second is to reset your digestive strength. And what I mean by that is, you know, in phase two, we've been kind of giving the digestive fire a break by eating baby food, essentially, right? Now we want to restoke that fire. And you've been doing that by taking your digestive herbs or the herbal alternatives or the ginger or whatever it is you're doing to help your digestive fire during phase two. Now we're kind of kicking it up a notch because it's going to be digesting more intense food when the cleanse is over. So the other thing I wanted to emphasize was that the digestive strength is linked to so many chronic health issues. And that's why this phase is so important, because if you don't pay attention to restoking your digestive fire, a lot of the things that may have started to improve on this cleanse, whether it's skin conditions, allergies, GI problems, whatever it is, if you don't take the care to exit the cleanse well and prepare your body for it, you're kind of setting yourself up to fall back into those chronic illnesses more easily, all right? So do you guys remember the word for digestive strength in Ayurveda? It's Agni, all right? And in Ayurveda, fire is an element of transformation. And digestion, or Agni, is related not just to food in Ayurveda, but to the processing and digestion and transformation of experiences and thoughts. So in stoking the digestive fire, we're not just, you know, better preparing for food, but we're also, by association, improving our capacity to deal with situations, our resilience. We're improving our capacity to respond creatively to situations instead of react. So fire is this very transformational element that's huge in Ayurveda and super important, okay? And as you stoke this fire, you can start feeling a warm sensation in your body. Basically, in Western medical terms, you could think of it like your metabolism's kicking up again, right? So you're going to be creating more heat in your body. But if you're having like acid reflux or burning, you need to back off the herbs again, just like we normally talked about throughout the whole cleanse, backing off and then building back up again one capsule at a time, okay? So in terms of the digestive strength, you're just going to basically be taking a little bit more of the beet cleanse and your digestive herbs, either warm or cool. So you're going to, on day 12, do 2 capsules each, and on the next day, 3 capsules each, and then on the last day of phase 3, 4 capsules each, okay? And you're going to take them 15 minutes before each meal, and you're going to take lemon water as well with those herbs, okay? And you're going to take lemon water during the meal. So you can take a total of 16 ounces of lemon water, you know, 12 ounces with the capsules and 4 ounces during the meal. You know, in Ayurveda, they're not a huge fan of drinking a lot of fluids during meals. Like sips throughout the meal are great, especially the warm water like they're recommending here. But you don't want to pound like, you know, a liter before eating, because if you think about it, if you had a little nice campfire smoldering and then you just poured some water on it right before you toss some wood on, that doesn't bode well for your fire. And so you don't want to dilute your stomach acids with too much water during the meal. So you can sip throughout the meal, drink more water between meals, but just not have too much right before or during a meal, okay? And again, if you're experiencing any burning or discomfort, you don't increase the herbs the next day, okay? Now, after those 3 days of phase two, you're going to go into integration. And that's just life, right? It's like integrating. I mean, basically the cleanse is done. It's not like you're going to be getting an email a day during integration. But, so this is cleanse is done. Now you're back in the real world. What's the best way to do this? Well, you know, phase three has really helps you transition into this. It primes your digestion so that it can handle food. And you may find that after this cleanse, if you were mildly or moderately gluten sensitive, you might be able to have a little bit of gluten now and then without as bad of negative sequela. Now, I don't encourage you to go off and make gluten the first thing you eat coming off the cleanse necessarily, but it's certainly an option so that you can see, oh, how much did my digestive strength improve? Because remember, in Ayurveda, a lot of these food sensitivities are not lifelong. It's not like, oh, I have a gluten sensitivity, I can never eat gluten again. Or, oh, I have a dairy sensitivity, I'll never be able to eat dairy again. In Ayurveda, like the digestive fire, if it's strong and you're giving it quality foods, should be able to process a lot. Now, it doesn't mean that you should try to get to the point where you can eat gluten every day all day or dairy every day all day, but you should be able to have, ideally, a little bit of that if you want to, without having the negative sequela if your digestive fire is strong, according to Ayurveda. And I've seen this to be true for sure with myself, not just in doing Ayurvedic cleanses, but in doing any of my cleanses throughout the year. As long as I do them, when I come off, I can have gluten every now and then and not feel so bad. But like, for example, like being pregnant, I couldn't do like my October cleanse and stuff. And so I just noticed like I was definitely becoming more sensitive to gluten again after I'd actually been able to have it for a little while. And so definitely keep that in mind in terms of doing the regular cleanses, whether it's Ayurvedic or not, to help your digestive fire, okay? So I want you to also realize that if you can maintain some of these principles coming off of the cleanse, if one of your goals is weight loss, it's really important that you then commit to keeping some of these principles as practice after the cleanse is done. Because, what page is this going to be on? Oh, on page 89, there's a great summary of what to try to keep doing after the cleanse is done. So you want to continue your herbal protocol on Chapter 5 until your bottles are empty. So if you bought, the Ayurvedic ones or if you're doing the substitutes, keep using them until they're empty. You don't need to order more, okay? Continue eating 3 meals a day with no snacks, making lunch your largest meal of the day, okay? So lunch in Ayurveda is ideally between 10 and 2. And you want to ideally make that the biggest meal of your day. And then again, having a light and early supper, which is early mean. In Ayurveda, they say 6. In my life, it's 7. If I can get dinner in before 7, I'm really, really happy. And then eating seasonal foods. And someone had asked this question about, what to do if you're wanting to eat seasonally, but you live in an area that doesn't have a good growing season, or doesn't really have seasons if you're along the equator, and it's mostly like wet season or dry season, like nothing really in between. And essentially what I like to do is just look at the places where, life grows abundantly, like in the Mediterranean or in California, and look at what seasonal food is in those areas. You can also look at your genetics. Some people like to really take that bent on it, like, if both of your parents are from Southeast Asia, okay, well, what are the seasonal foods there at this time of year? And again, this is only if where you're living doesn't really offer you a lot of great options in terms of seasonal eating and you're trying to make some decisions about what that means for you, okay? There is a cool handouts on the LifeSpa website. It's lifespa.com/eatseasonally. And those are a seasonal foods list for non-cleansing life. I'm going to try to create a PDF for you and email you that before the end of the cleanse. So, but if you want to check it out now, go to lifespa.com/eatseasonally. Just making a note here so I remember to send that to you. Okay. And then, if you have lost your desire for heavy foods, like kind of Karen was talking about here with not even being that hungry anymore, and you want to continue with this cleansing kind of diet, one of the best things to do is just eliminate the common allergens like wheat, dairy, soy, and sugar. Okay, for as long as you're comfortable. If you can minimize that or not eat those things for as long as possible, that will take such a burden off of your body. You know, even though this cleanse is not like allergenic focused in terms of an elimination diet comparison, you know, just in terms of maintaining good eating habits after the cleanse, just being easy on your digestive system with minimizing those things is awesome. Because, you know, when you have some of the food allergies, then your villi lining of your intestines kind of go numb, or they break off, or they just stop moving, and it makes absorption of nutrients harder and digestion harder, okay? So basically in Ayurveda, a lot comes down to digestion. And what I think is so fascinating is, you know, everybody used to kind of make fun of Ayurveda because of this. I'm not sure why, but they would make fun of Ayurveda like, oh, there's so many, like they focus so much on food and, you know, the digestive tract and pooing and stuff like this. And it's like, but what's interesting is if you look at the development and evolution of allopathic medicine and alternative medicine, like functional medicine places a huge emphasis on gut health. Integrative medicine, a huge emphasis on gut health. Like now the science is starting to back it up. Did you guys know that 80% of your neurotransmitters are made in your gut? Yeah, like all those serotonin, like, which is helps you feel better, right? I mean, people, like, we have the SSRIs, the antidepressants, help people to have a higher level of circulating serotonin. And so, you know, we as alternative practitioners have seen for a long time the relationship of gut health and people's emotional status and psychological well-being. And what we're like, what people have learned eventually is like, oh, guess what? So many of those neurotransmitters are made in the gut. That's why gut health is so important on so many levels. Not just for digestion, not just for cancer prevention and immunity, but also your psychological health. And think about it. It's so vulnerable. It's like the one part of our body that's open to the external world. Everything else is sealed in by skin and cell membranes and all this stuff. Our gut, I mean, from our mouth to our butt, that's the open system to the external world. It has to be strong. It has to be well taken care of to handle everything coming in. Right? And we have to treat it with respect. So I'm going to see if there are any questions right now, because that's basically wrapping up phase two and phase three, as well as integration. Someone said here, why soy? I think what you're asking is why soy? As something to potentially eliminate. Soy is a super common allergen. It has been in our food system in a secret way for a long time. Like most people, the first time they heard of soy was during the health food like burst, you know, in the 70s and 80s with tofu. But what people don't realize is that soy has been used as a filler in processed food for decades. It has been used in meat hamburger patties to help keep down the costs because soy was much cheaper than beef, so they would mix it, and they still do, in hamburger meat, the gluten's in hamburger meat that's processed as a filler. Soy is in drinks, soy is in chips and bread. It's in so many things, like creamer, non-dairy creamer. Soy is everywhere. So most people have some kind of sensitivity to soy, just like there's most people have a sensitivity to gluten and dairy without even knowing it. So that's why soy. Now, if you notice on the cleanse, on things not to eat GMO, there are a lot of soy items on there. Fermented soy is actually okay for you in terms of the big health picture. All of the studies that show health benefit with soy are from fermented soy, and like miso or tempeh, you know, countries that eat soy. They're not eating processed tofu like we are. They're eating fermented soy like tempeh and miso. So the type of tofu that we see here is not the kind that has been shown over and over in studies to be awesome. In fact, it can be very detrimental. There's phytoestrogens in it that mimic the hormone estrogen that can have a negative effect on a lot of people's health that are especially sensitive to that. So that's why soy. So if you are going to eat soy, make it non-GMO, make it organic, and make it fermented. So, and again, the whole non-GMO thing, soy is one of the most commonly genetically modified things, as is corn, you know. So if, as more data comes out about the effects of GMO foods on our bodies, it'll be interesting to see kind of how the recommendations around a lot of things evolve. All right, so if you guys have any questions, go ahead and press star 2 or type your question in the question and answer box. Okay. Nothing yet. Nobody has any questions about the flush or anything like that? Karen is asking, this is a different Karen. Karen has been asking all the questions. This is a different Karen. This is Karen P. asking a question about, when I come off of the cleanse, I'm wondering about alcohol intake and marijuana and other drugs, and are there any recommendations for that? Yeah, that's a great question. It's interesting because there are, you know, there's a lot of data out there about, like, wine and, like, oh, one glass of wine a day is really good for you, you know, with the French paradox studies and all of this. And the bottom line is you can get the benefits of wine, like through grape juice and stuff like that, but really alcohol is toxic on the body. So in terms of recommendations, you know, when people, like John Hopkins just did a study, people who drink every day have smaller brains, and brain size is something that actually does matter, though. Even though we say, like, size doesn't matter with some other things, with brain size, there's a high correlation with brain size and brain function. And when brain size shrinks in people who don't take care of themselves as they age, cognitive function goes down. Now, I love me some wine. I'm not saying that, like, you know, you shouldn't drink wine, but I'm just saying don't fool yourself into thinking that it's a health food. Like, I think the wine industry does a really good job at promoting it. I don't think it's evil per se. I'm just saying don't pretend that it's like not like a vitamin. So my recommendation would be, as usual with most things, the middle way, like moderation. Studies definitely show that women who have a glass of wine or drink anything every day, women who drink every day have a higher risk for breast cancer. And my guess is because of, you know, the inflammation in the body that happens from consuming alcohol, for women with a genetic predisposition, that'll turn that gene on for that to happen. Okay, another question came in. If I don't have a family history of breast cancer, am I still at risk? Yeah, so that's a great clarification question, actually, which because actually most people who get cancer don't have a family history of that cancer. So, you know, a lot of people will come into my practice and say, oh, I don't want a mammogram because my no one in my family has had breast cancer. But while there are many other reasons to argue whether or not you should have a mammogram, a family history is not one of them, because most people that get cancer don't have anyone in their family who had that cancer before. It's just that if you have a family member with that cancer, you're even more likely than the average person to get it. But it doesn't mean that because you don't have a family member with it that you're at a low risk for it, okay? I just want to be really clear about that. So I think so that was relating back to the question that someone had about the wine. And so with wine, again, anything in moderation. With marijuana and stuff like that, you know, Ayurveda, here's the thing. Okay, I'll go back to Chinese medicine first. What's interesting to me is in Chinese medicine, they'll often say that, like, alcohol is better for you than marijuana. And I think what they're referring to, without having known it back then, is marijuana is actually fat soluble, which is why you can test positive for it for so long after consuming it, because it's stored in your fat cells and is slowly released. Whereas alcohol can be flushed out pretty quickly, and you only test positive for that for like, you know, like tens of hours. And so in terms of the buildup in your body, marijuana definitely stays in your body longer. As for recommendations of that, Ayurveda doesn't have any like, oh, this amount is okay or that amount is not okay. The way that Ayurveda looks at some of these things is that some things increase sattva in the body and some things increase guna and some things increase tamas. And so, like, let me see if I can pull up a good handout for you guys. Here. Oh, I can't find it. Oh, that's okay. Well, anyway, in Ayurveda, there's like different qualities or tendencies, which are referred to as gunas. And that's tamas, sattva, and rajas. Okay, so sattva means balance, order, or purity. So when something is sattvic, it is light, it is clear, it's lucid. Rajas means like a lot of movement, right, or unsettled nature, kind of running around kind of energy. And tamas is like a heavier term, heavy, inertia, inactive, a little bit darker, lethargic, slow, or dull. So there, these three qualities manifest in all objects of life. So if you look at like butter, that is more tamasic, right? It's like heavier. It doesn't really flow like olive oil does, for example. Like on a continuum, butter possesses more tamasic qualities than olive oil, but olive oil possesses more tamasic qualities than water, which is more sattvic, which is more light and clear and flowy, right? So all of these qualities permeate all things in Ayurveda, and so you can look at it like that with substances as well. Like, what does this substance do to my body? What's its effect? Does it have a sattvic effect on my body, which is, does it bring me more lucidity, clearness, lightness? Does it bring me kind of closer to my spiritual truth or to purity and balance? Or does it create rajasic energy, which is like more kind of chaos and, you know, fiery and movement kind of qualities to my life? Like, you know, some people drink and they get very tamasic and heavy and then they pass out. Some people get very rajasic and they get all kinds of angry or aggro or start, like, you know, boogieing on the tables and taking off their clothes and stuff. And then, like, so I would say, like, the Ayurvedic answer to what you're asking is observe. And observe with honesty and true eyes. Like, when you're taking in a substance, what's its quality on you? And it doesn't mean to not eat sattvic things, I mean, or not eat tamasic things, or not eat rajasic things, even though there are some people who are really anal about it. It's just become aware and make sure that there's balance, right? If you've had your, like, rajasic meal or your tamasic meal or, you know, binging event, like, at your night out with the girls or whatever one night, then balance it with some sattvic activities for the next few days. So it's just really being honest about that. That's my take on it, because I am not a militant kind of person. I believe that everybody is different. Every body is different, and only you know what works for you or not. I know, you know, how much wine I'm okay with in a given time frame before I start feeling lazy and heavy and, you know, meh every day. And it took me a while to learn what that was. And, you know, so now I know, oh, if I have this, this is what I'm going to feel like. So is it going to be worth it for me? That's kind of how I do it. So gently, come off it gently. Come off the cleanse gently when you're integrating those things. All right, let me see if there's any other questions here. Not anybody on the Q&A box. Star 2 for anyone else wanting to raise your hand. Okay, great. All right, you guys. So I want to let you know that I'm going to be around on the forum for a while because I know that some people, maybe if you placed your herbal orders a little later, you wanted to wait to start the cleanse until you got them. Some of you intentionally are starting a week late or took some days off. I'm going to be on the forum to monitor for questions. Be sure to tag me if it's really important that you hear from me specifically, just because I have so many groups I manage. It just is a lot easier when you tag me. I'll have a higher chance of seeing it and being able to respond in a timely manner, okay? So I'll be there on the forum for you. I want you to really feel amazing coming off of this cleanse and feel successful because you guys went balls to the walls with this cleanse. This is not an easy cleanse. This is not, you know, I'm just going to cut out some allergic things and eat kind of similarly to how I normally do. Most of you, myself included, this is radically different from the way I normally eat every day, as opposed to some of my more nourishing cleanses, which are a little bit more in alignment with how I eat every day. So I just want to acknowledge that this is a challenge, and it's totally worth it, and your body will love it. And just learn from this, you know, learn. How was that cleanse for my body? If your body didn't like it, learn. What was it that you didn't like so that you can apply it to future cleanses or choosing what kind of cleanse you're going to do next, all right? So your body's your best laboratory. Use this as an experience to set yourself up for success in future cleanses. And speaking of that, the next one, let me see here. Julie here said, you know, are we going to do another? She said we because in the Urban Wellness Club, the cleanses are included as part of the Urban Wellness Club. You guys can check that out at urbanwellnessclub.com. But the cleanses throughout the year are included. But she's asking, are we going to do another Ayurvedic one? In the fall, we're going to be doing, you'll have the choice of either doing a nutritive cleanse or an Ayurvedic cleanse in the fall. I am looking at potentially, you know, trying to do something a little bit more creative. But, you know, usually I think people benefit from a nutritive cleanse in the fall. So we'll be doing that with the option of doing the fall version of this cleanse that we just did, if you'd like. So it's not going to be, you know, simply Ayurvedic focused for our fall cleanse, which usually happens in October, in case any of you are wondering when that's going to happen. And I will say that in July, we're going to be doing a raw foods cleanse because Sandor Katz is going to speak to the Urban Wellness Club in June about fermentation, and we're going to start kind of getting prepped to explore raw foods and wild foods and fermentation and things like that for the summer because that's the time to be eating that stuff. You don't want to be eating raw, light food in the winter. That's like very what? You guys remember Vata Pitta Kapha? Winter's very Vata. And it can be very drying, right? So the last thing you want to do is eat dry, cold food. But in the summer, hit it hard. Like that's when we're going to do our raw foods cleanse. It's going to be short because I'm not a huge fan of long raw food cleanses. I see most people get sick when they do those and they're catching colds and flus in the summer, which is such a buzzkill because you're supposed to be out playing. So we'll be doing a shorter cleanse in the summer for raw food, and we'll be learning a lot of fun, yummy recipes. You'll be amazed at all the cool things you can make with raw food, all right? And then in terms of the Urban Wellness Club schedule coming up, in case you're interested, we're doing hormones in May, balancing hormones. We're going to be learning a lot about how our hormones affect our emotions, our body, our thought processes, cognitive function, and things like that. Our guest speaker is Dr. Claudia Welch. Like I said, in June, we're with Sandor Katz, and in July, we'll be doing the raw foods cleanse. We've also got a meditation intensive in there and a bunch of fun stuff coming up. So let me know if you guys have any questions about that. But in terms of future cleanses, keep that in mind, okay? July raw foods, and in the fall, nutritive or fall version of Ayurvedic cleanse. All right, you guys. One more chance at questions here. Star 2 to raise your hand. Nope, we're looking good. Okay. Well, thank you all for coming on this call. Keep kicking ass on the cleanse. I'm going to be on the forum for the next few weeks. probably at least through the end of this month, okay? And I'll try to answer as many questions as I can that come up for you. So stick with it. Continue to give each other the awesome support that you have been. You guys kick ass. It's been really cool to watch you guys support each other and share recipes. I love that yummy picture that Rivka put up of her delicious meal the other day. That made me want to cook that right away. All right, you guys. So don't get too sick of beets because of this. I'd hate for you to be forever turned off for beets because of this cleanse, because I love them, all right? So hang in there. Keep giving the love to the beets. And I look forward to seeing you guys all on the forum and hopefully in future cleanses too. All right, take care. Bye.